Welcome back to the Audio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Georgie Jameson, and this week our guest is Jason Carter, founder and festival director of The Podcast Show, which celebrates its fifth anniversary this year. Jason has had a long career in live events for BBC Radio, including Radio 1 Big Weekends, Radio 2 Live in Hyde Park, and BBC 6 Music Festival. He also founded BBC Music Introducing. I started by asking Jason what made him want to create the podcast show in the first place.
Oh, gosh, blimey. How long have we got? I mean, my background is in live events, actually very large proportion of my working career actually at the BBC. So 20 years, I started at Radio 1 in 1997, and I ended up being head of events for Radio 1. And then over the course of those years, I ended up being head of events for all the radio networks. So I was responsible for all the big flagship events, such as Radio 1 Big Weekend and Radio 2 in Hyde Park and 6 Music festivals, etc. And I was also the commissioner for all the sort of third-party coverage that the BBC networks would be at, such as Glastonbury, Reading, etc. And then I left the BBC. So events is my thing, but large proportion of my well-being broadcast, but music events. I left the BBC after 20 years in 2017, and I set up Get On Media. And we still do work, actually still do produce shows for Radio 2, actually out in Malton. But I also, one of the other hats I wore at the BBC was I launched the platform BBC Introducing in 2007, and then I led it until my departure. And one of the things after I left the BBC was I went back to them and suggested the idea of creating a BBC Introducing event, which is like the physical kind of embodiment, if you like, of what BBC Introducing is. And that ended up being at Tobacco Dog. And it was an event that ran for a couple of years. It stopped in that form. It still continues now, as far as I understand it, but it stopped in that form when COVID hit. But the framework to that event is essentially the same framework as the podcast show, in that we had like hundreds of sessions, speakers, activations, partners, walking into the world of music for new emerging talent. And many of the partners involved in that were, it was quite unique actually, because it was a BBC event, but we had partners on board such as Spotify and YouTube and so on and so forth. And it was really during that period that I'm working with those big brands. They talked about the notion of the boom of podcasting at that particular time, and that there wasn't an event of real scale supporting the podcast industry from sort of entry point, emerging kind of talent, if you like, perspective, new sort of podcast creators through to the higher sort of industry side. And so I started to develop the thinking around that during lockdown. Got a lot of FaceTime with a lot of partners that are at the show now, the likes of Global and BBC Sounds and Spotify and Amazon, etc. And I got a lot of pickup from an interest from those partners with the idea of doing this. So kind of got on my way. And once a couple came on board, it really sort of snowballed in terms of big partners wanting to support it. And I think one of the things that really struck me, and it was also a lot of feedback from my sort of peers in the industry, was the many events that exist in the sort of audio space at the time. They're not very diverse. They were a little bit old school. And so we just thought about, could we create an event that was open and giving access to all? So the executives, but entry point people, with the backdrop of being as open and accessible as possible to all audiences, making sure it was diverse from every kind of angle, really. And I guess with my festival music background, kind of wanted to create an event that was a conference in many respects, but also felt like a festival as well. So, and less intimidating for new creators coming into the mix, etc. And that's why the strap line when we first launched it was an international festival for the business of podcasting. Key thing being business and a festival. Launched the first one in 2022, and it was just coming out. I cancelled it 3 times because of COVID, and then launched it in 2022. It was perfect timing actually, because there was the real boom during lockdown, but also, I remember when we opened the doors and everybody, thousands, came into the Business Design Centre in Islington. It was the first time people had really seen each other because of lockdown. So there was this real energy in the room. And really, from that point on, we've just evolved and developed it. And I can't believe we're at 5 years now.
Quite an undertaking. It's grown massively over the last 5 years. Are you surprised how much the show and podcasting has grown?
In terms of the podcast show's growth, I am surprised. And, you know, every year it surpasses the previous year in terms of numbers and also people that are engaging in the show. It's a really very international event now. We have visitors from over 60 different countries last year attended the show, and it's going to be similar again this year. I think probably what surprises me most is that it really feels like London becomes the destination in the UK for podcasting globally in May. And it's not a statement that I'm making. It's what I hear from the industry. When I talk to people in the US that fly over, they're just like, everyone loves coming to London, meeting the UK industry, but also meeting everyone that's flying in from all around the world. So that aspect, I didn't expect so much, the sort of that international aspect. No one could imagine where podcasting sits today compared to even 2022. So yeah, absolutely. It's continuing to grow, isn't it?
Yeah, it's still a growing and emerging market. We still don't really completely fully understand what will happen with podcasting and what we can do. I mean, it's still really in its infancy, yet it's massive. I think that's why the show feels so important, because there wasn't anything like that. I say 5 years ago, but obviously before that, because you cancelled it three times because of COVID, I guess maybe what, 7-8 years ago then, you spotted this gap in the events market. And as you said, live events has been your life, your career, a place for the industry to come together. Why do you think the show is so important for the industry?
I mean, one of the kind of, I guess, the premise that I work from in delivering the show is actually the whole kind of narrative and content for it isn't actually built by me and our and the team that's involved. It's actually, we are pretty sort of forensic about talking to the industry about what they want. So for example, I have an international advisory board, and it's what it says on the can. It's like, I have a dozen executives from all around the world, and of course the UK, that just help inform the topics that are the hot topics this year that we should be covering. We make sure that we have a contributors on that board that can come in and support how we continue to support the sort of emerging people that are developing their careers in the industry and what they might want to see. But we equally want to make sure that for senior executives from all the very obvious people that you'd expect and that you see at the show, that they see value in, you know, the narrative around, you know, the future of podcasting. And so we build continuously. I mean, we have three or four meetings with the board, but actually every single partner at the event, and we have over 100 at different levels, from exhibitors with a small stand, if you like, through to big headline partners like iHeart and Global. Every partner actually is providing content as well. Yeah, because that, well, we'll have curated sessions through my team or through the team, but equally a lot of those partners have sessions themselves. You know, our job is just to make sure that we're listening all the time and listening to what people want to see at the show. And it's evolved. It's interesting for me, with the 5 years that we've run it, to see the changing landscape of podcasting, whether it's the rise of video 2 years ago. And that debate's almost kind of so run now. I'm not sure it's worth talking about, through to AI. But then, you know, we'll see businesses that came in a few years ago that have become huge. It's a really interesting place to sit, because we see the different touch points and developments within the industry, whether it's, you know, how live has exploded or you know, other events that are happening in the space. So it's so vibrant. And the whole creator economy is just another level as well. So, I mean, even with that in mind, you know, there are new things that we feel we need to do with the show and make sure we refresh. So, for example, this year we've got a brand new stage, which is the Creator First stage, which kind of goes, conversation is within podcasting, but the whole kind of blurred lines around just creator content. And that's a stage actually curated by Arcade and Jordan Schwarzenberger, whose business is Arcade Media, with the Sidemen. Or we might have, given the international attendees at the event in London, we launched an international stage, which is sponsored by Podomo. So it's just refreshing every year with what we do to keep it relevant.
You have got this amazing track record and career in live events, and you mentioned some of the things that you've done there. Incredible, massive, massive events. How does the podcast show compare in terms of the logistics to some of those major events that you've been responsible for?
Obviously very different, but what's similar is, you know, it's pretty stressful putting it on. I mean, one, yeah. You know, it's in a sense, you know, running major music shows as I did at the BBC, you're actually, the kind of real stress point there is health and safety and the responsibility for example, as a festival director for the London 2012 Olympics with Radio 1's Hackney Weekend. You know, the responsibility is for 100,000 people on Hackney Marshes across 2 days. So the level of stress around just making sure people can attend the event and leave safely is kind of at the sort of forefront thinking. Here, we're not worrying about people's lives, which is.
But there's still a lot of people coming through your doors.
There is a lot of people, but we're in an operating venue that does this sort of thing regularly. But there are different kind of challenges, and one of them being what I've touched on, which is just ensuring that, you know, we can deliver the best value for those different audience types that attend the show. And it's a juggling act because you want to make sure that if you are a senior executive from, let's say, you know, Amazon or Spotify or BBC Studios, etc., that you're coming to the show and you're getting business done and you're launching new things. But equally, what we don't want to do is alienate an independent podcast creator who wants to start their journey. And we want to make sure we're welcoming to them and that they can come into the show, not feel intimidated and sit in front of the creator stage for 2 days and just get some real inspiration from some leaders and learn different facets of the industry. So it's about being a springboard and almost a legacy piece, hopefully, for the kind of next generation of people in audio, as well as being an important, valuable show for more longer standing industry professionals. We want to make sure that, you know, I guess what we always aspire to is making sure that if someone wants to springboard into or elevate what they're doing in podcasting, then this is the place that they hopefully leave after 2 days and they've got a massive new address book of contacts and names and networking. And for others, that, you know, there's real tangible return of investment for being at the show. We're kind of outside the office here, we've got a wall chart of over 180 sessions right now with 3 weeks to go. There's only a few gaps left in it. And just making sure that, okay, what proportion of the content is ticking that box for that audience type versus this audience type. But it's exciting. It's, you know, it's an exciting thing to do.
Yeah, it is exciting.
But yeah, making sure that it's on point and post-show that we see good reviews on socials and wherever for the event.
Well, I think you touched on a bit of that there, and I'm fascinated by this kind of massive wall chart. I wanted to ask you, as festival director then, what is your role? What do you primarily do leading up to and during the festival?
The lead up for me is really jumping across, some would say in the team annoying, but jumping across the different key kind of areas. Obviously content and the program is key. And so straight after this chat with you, I'll be sitting down with the content team and we're doing a whole sweep of that board to see where we think the gaps are, what might be missing, thinking about some last minute speakers that we think would be good to add into the program. I try not to interfere too much because we've got a great team. And Fergus O'Neill is the deputy director of the show and leads the content team. So we're in really good hands, but I will drop in there and I drop in across the various areas, you know, so sort of the marketing campaigns. So yeah, it's me poking my nose in the different verticals in the delivery of the show. When it comes to the show, it's really just meeting people at every level, especially on day two, how they're feeling about the event. Is it delivering for them? Obviously, I get a lot of that post-event as well. And then the other is we've got 100 plus partners at the event from every level. And we were really proud that we feel like, you know, we've got the who's who of all the people that you'd expect to see in the space. This year, Bauer have come in for the first time. I mean, they've been at the show, but actually in as a formal partner. And so if you look at the logo stack, you know, on the show, everybody who's anybody, really.
It's a who's who, isn't it?
I mean, there's still some people I'd still like to convince. But yeah, so a lot of time talking to the partners at the event and making sure that it's working for them.
You mentioned some of the team there. What kind of size of team do you have helping you?
It grows up to the run into the event. I mean, I have a sort of core group of about half a dozen people working on it dedicated. And that's throughout the year. So, the planning for the event is a pretty large scale event. And it isn't just, I think what's really important to say is that it isn't just about the sessions program. In fact, some would argue it's actually more about networking. and people coming together. And, you know, the real value piece is coming in. Lots of people fly in. Now, the show's on a Wednesday and Thursday on the 20th, 21st of May. People fly in from Monday, spend a week in London, set up lots of meetings. And so we've got sort of lots of drinks receptions. We've got a big official party this year that we're doing, hosting with Patreon. So there's multiple sort of fringe activities that are happening, hence why we have kind of a core group of about six. But by that time, I mean, right now, I've got 3 weeks out from the show. We're probably on about 14 people working on the show, and it will scale up some more next week. And then at the event, it's like there's stage managers. We've got 11 stages, stage managers, stage assistants, PR team, marketing team, ops team. It's a very big operation.
It is huge. And like you say, all the time growing. So I just wanted to round up with, what does the future hold after this first 5 years for the podcast show? How do you keep it fresh and how do you grow?
Right. Okay. Well, so how do we keep it fresh is staying in the dialogue, from event surveys, post-event, to looking at all the sort of comments on social media for the month after the event, and then lots of conversations. Another reason why we have a core group of six people, because we're in dialogue all the time. It's just critical to make sure that we keep our finger on the pulse. So those conversations are really important. In terms of growth, you know, I get approached pretty much almost every week. I'll get asked the question, when are you bringing the podcast show to X territory or country?
People would like you to take it on the road or across the world.
Yeah, they would. We see the London show, our only show at the moment, as always being the crown jewel event. And we're really proud that it's in London. We're proud that it's in the UK. And it's brilliant to see lots of the UK industry say that it's wonderful that the world comes to London to see what the UK is doing in podcasting and broadcast generally. You know, expansion plans beyond this show are one of the things that we have been looking at for a while. We're still working on that. So what I would say really is watch this space.
A big thank you to Jason Carter for being our guest. The podcast show is on the 20th and 21st of May at the Business Design Centre, Islington in London. If you're an Audio Academy member, then head to our website, audioacademy.org.uk/members-offers, where you can find details of tickets for the podcast show and an exclusive members discount code. Also, our website is the place to go to book Aria's tickets for the big night at the Roundhouse on the 21st of May. And you have just a few more days to vote for the Radio Times Moment of the Year. It closes on the 8th of May, so get your vote in now. Go to audioacademy.org.uk/Aria's for both of those. Next week, we talk Eurovision at 70 with Head of Delegation for the UK Eurovision entry, Andrew Cartmell. I'll see you next week.